All right, back on the Young Turks. Two tweets here. Admiral Marston writes in, "We must remember President Reagan had early Alzheimer's while in office. He did fine, right?" One could argue, right? And I think that was your point. Matthew Reed says, "Reporting on Megyn Kelly's failing show is punching down." So,
is it?
Well, so here's the thing, though. That's what's so maddening about the current state of the media, especially if you're in our shoes. Her show probably gets about a couple million people. It's broadcast network. It follows Today's Show. I didn't look at it lately, but it's probably in that ballpark. We probably, the Young Turks alone, not the rest of the network, probably gets about 4 million. Four million at least a day. Okay, so our show is larger than her show. So in a sense, Matthew is right that we're punching down, except for the fact that she makes $23 million a year.
Yeah.
So there is something wrong in that equation. It's insane.
That's so much money.
In another post game, I'll probably talk to you guys about like what's wrong with the media dynamic, why the online shows that are more successful don't get anywhere near the TV shows that are failing the money. I mean, it's not even in the same ballpark. So it's so out of whack. If you're going to do any advertising, you are nuts to spend a dollar in TV. I mean, that is so wasteful. I mean, as Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump found out, she spent a couple of billion dollars on television. He spent like 10% of it on online, and he kicked her ass because online spending is 1,000 times more efficient. Meaning, good for you, bad for us, because our rates are way too low. Anyway, member shout outs are Dan Swando and Shianne Walker. In today's post game, I'm going to tell you guys super cutesy ski getaway stories from when I was young and we would go skiing and our antics, as it were. Okay?
One small fun fact. This is just according to a tweet. Over 440,000 a week made if you're looking at 23 million a year.
Making 440,000.
Over, just 442,000, something like that.
We're talking about
a week.
We're talking about the remainder of the contract. We're talking about the remainder of the contract. It's reference to an older story.
All right, anyway, become a member, tytnetwork.com/join. All right, what's next?
All right. Today, Donald Trump gave a speech about his tax plan. Of course, we all know that he is not really planning on pushing for tax reform, but rather tax cuts. And of course, those tax cuts will benefit the wealthy, including wealthy corporations. Now, the big argument is, well, if you give these corporations these tax cuts, maybe they'll trickle on you, okay? Maybe they'll trickle some of that wealth on you. Maybe they'll create some jobs. Well, thanks to you guys. Thanks for your support in hiring journalists to investigate issues just like that. We have been able to not only hire a great team, but a team that is uncovering stories regarding these corporations and what they really plan to do with these tax cuts. And, you know, Jonathan Larson, who is the managing editor of these reporters, is, you know, hitting the nail on the head. Recent example is UPS and FedEx, the two companies that TYT investigates is investigating. They just published a piece today about how while they are pushing for these tax cuts, they are also simultaneously lobbying for technology that would allow them to use drones and fire people, okay, lay people off, and also do more automation within their companies. So tax cuts will not create more jobs for companies like this. In fact, they will take these tax cuts and do something completely different with it, like investing in technology advancements that would allow them to lay more people off and save more money. So, yeah.
So yesterday I did a story on the automation part. They've got the update today on the drones. You should definitely read that. Go to tytnetwork.com/investigates to get more of those stories.
Yeah, it's an excellent piece. You do not want to miss it. So please take take a moment of your time to read what they're up to. It's very illuminating.
All right, what's next?
All right, moving on. After the hate rally that took place in Charlottesville, Virginia, a video went viral showing the beating of a counter-protester named DeAndre Harris. Now that video was extremely graphic. It showed just how viciously he was being beaten by white supremacists and how police just stood by and kind of let it happen. Now, the update to that story is the fact that DeAndre Harris has been served with an arrest warrant. And that arrest warrant indicates that he could potentially face criminal charges for hurting the white supremacists, which sounds crazy, right? Now, I'm going to fill in the details as to why there's a warrant out for his arrest. But before I do so, I just want to remind you of how viciously he was beaten by these white supremacists. The video that we're about to show you is graphic, so I want to give you proper warning. But with that said, let's take a look. All right, so now according to his attorney, he suffered serious injuries as a result, including a concussion, a head laceration that required staples, a fractured wrist, a knee injury, and other abrasions, and contusions across his body as a result of this clash, okay?
He got 10 staples to his head.
Yeah, so we can all see what happened in that video. Now, fast forward to recently, and all of a sudden, there is a man by the name of Harold Ray Cruz who says that he was wounded because of DeAndre Harris's actions. He claims that he was hit with a flashlight and that he suffered physical injuries as a result of that. Now, the video shows that the flashlight barely even touched him. And hold on, before we go to this video. So the footage shows that DeAndre Harris using a flashlight wasn't even an issue. Like it barely even touched anyone.
Okay,
right?
But look, more important than that is the white nationalist Harold Ray Cruz spears Harris. Harris, to defend himself, swings the flashlight and grazes him or misses him or whatever.
Right.
And then you see the video where he just Harris gets pounded by six guys at once and needs the 10 staples in his head. So now you know what right wingers normally say. Hey, look, if I ever get attacked, I got to stand my ground. So Harris was attacked first. There's no question about it. If he was a white right winger, he could take out a gun and shoot all six of them and go, I was attacked and I stood my ground.
Yes.
And I was afraid of my life. And by the way, there might have even been some justification because as it turned out, he should have been afraid for his life. They could have killed him there.
They could have very easily killed him. Okay.
So, but then Cruz says, oh my God, I've been so aggrieved. In the middle of me nearly lynching this guy, he dared to fight back for a second ineffectually, so I would like to have him arrested. And the cops are like, well, of course, yes, sir, of course, sir.
It wasn't even the cops. He went specifically to a magistrate. And I'll give you the details of laws in Virginia and why this warrant was able to, he was able to get this warrant out for Harris's arrest. Now, before we get to that though, remember Cruz claimed that he was injured as a result of Harris using his flashlight against him. But Harris's lawyer actually managed to find footage of Cruz getting hit by a different individual on the head, okay? And this incident happened while Harris was already in the hospital. This was following the assault that Harris had to deal with. Now, we're gonna show you the video that was released by Harris's lawyer. We made sure to use a red circle to make sure you focus on the specific part of the video because there's a lot of commotion, there's a lot of chaos going on. But just pay close attention to a completely different individual hitting Cruz over the head with what appears to be a metal pipe. All right, there it is.
Okay, so the guy who did it is not only not Harris, he's white.
Exactly.
Okay. Now, he shouldn't have done it and he should be arrested. So now Cruz had already attacked Harris and should have been arrested on the spot. By the way, they were right next to the police station. But to be fair to the cops, as I said during the incident, it was madness in the streets, okay? So Cruz does not get arrested. He's walking around and a white counter protester hits him with a pipe. Mm-hmm. Now, that guy should be arrested because I don't even know that he knew anything about Harris. That incident was already over. Harris is already in the hospital, right? But Cruz, once he gets arrested, goes, oh yeah, it was that no good black guy who hit me. Now, he could have said, it's that white guy who had nothing to do with the incident, and you should arrest him because he actually hit me. He did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
He's like, no. And he's a leftist or whatever, right? But no, he's not going to blame the guy who actually did it. He's going to turn around and blame the black guy who didn't do it.
I mean, it's absurd. So how is it that there's now a warrant out for Harris's arrest, right? Especially with no evidence that he did anything wrong. Well, Vox dug into this, and it's fascinating how easy it is to get a warrant out for someone's arrest. Let's go to graphic 4. According to Vox, after filing a police report, a victim can approach a magistrate, which is what Cruz did in this case, for an arrest warrant against someone accused of a crime. The magistrate then needs only probable cause based on the victim's testimony, which is a fairly easy requirement to file an arrest warrant. This is what Cruz reportedly did. So keep in mind that there are still white supremacists who beat Harris out on the loose. They haven't been charged. Only two individuals have been charged in that case. Okay, and the only reason why they were charged was because people like Sean King were doing their own investigation and pushing to identify those people so they could actually, you know, be brought to justice. They had to fight for that. But in this case, we're talking about the victim here. Think about how easy it was to get a warrant out for his arrest.
So let's just break down a little bit further. So there's six guys who attack Harris. Only two of them are caught so far. And by the way, when Harris swung the flashlight in defense, it was not at Cruz. It was at another one of the white supremacists. So the Cruz thing had absolutely nothing to do with Harris. So there's a couple of problems with the system here. One is that if you're the cops, okay, as I said earlier, it was mayhem. Maybe it's hard to figure out that there was a terrible assault happening right next to your headquarters. But afterwards, that's got to be a little embarrassing. So you want to probably spend a lot of time trying to find the guys who did that vicious beating right next to your headquarters. I don't know how much time they've spent on it. I do know Sean King, oh, by the way, TYT contributor, is one of the guys who spent a lot more time and actually found the guys some of the guys in the video. So then, secondly, as Vox explains, it's too easy to get an arrest warrant through a magistrate in that system. So that's not just about DeAndre Harris, it's about the system. But once you find out, I mean, earlier would have been the time, but certainly now, that no, wait, that's not the person who hit Cruz. So we're trying to arrest the guy who's got the 10 staples in his head, who is a victim of a vicious racial beating. That's the time when you take that warrant away. So can we get to that already? That's the injustice we're talking about.
Exactly.
There was only a way that in this country people could use their platform to bring forward issues like this, the systemic injustice in our judicial system amongst certain groups of people, because the people in power that can hand out these warrants for arrest of a victim of a vicious beating, that it maybe can be highlighted and brought forward without the president of the United States saying that's BS and let's shut that down and allowing a big organization to back him up on it. I wish we could find some way to address this issue because it sounds like it's real.
Yeah, well, you know, let me go further, Jared. So obviously, President Trump attacked the black NFL players and now some white NFL players who are kneeling to protest police brutality. Now, and systemic racism, by the way, not just police brutality. And so here we have the system with yet another injustice against an African American. The police didn't do the beating, okay? Be very clear about that. But here's a clear injustice. So not only is the president attacking the people fighting the injustice, trying to fix it, but wouldn't it be amazing if we had a president who actually fought to fix the injustice? And it seems like, no, that's way too much to ask for, right? But shouldn't the president be more upset that an American citizen was beat down viciously based on his race by six guys who are not only clear white nationalists? The guy that we're talking about, Cruz, does a podcast called Southern Nationalist Radio.
He doesn't hide the fact that he's a Southern nationalist. His Twitter account, which by the way, he's got protected tweets, which I find hilarious, says Southern nationalist.
Yeah, so known white supremacist. Shouldn't the president be more angry about that beating and the injustice that flowed from it than people who are protesting that injustice? He doesn't care, man. It's not that
he doesn't care, Jake.
He cares the opposite.
He fanned the flames. He is the reason why those who planned this hate rally felt emboldened enough to go out there with their cheesy tiki torches and say what they said, do what they did. He's the one who emboldened them, okay? And anyone who denies that is, either oblivious or just purposely doesn't want to admit it.
So every player in the NFL should take a knee, including all the white players. And now when the owners are trying to intimidate you and say they're going to sit you down and make sure they shut you up and make sure you just play for them and entertain the masses for them, but won't treat you with the dignity when you fight back against injustice like this, all of them should kneel down. And Jerry Jones, you're not going to sit Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott and Dez Bryant. You're not going to do it. Just take a knee, force these greedy, greedy, pathetic NFL owners to actually, okay, then do it. Go ahead, fire us all. Let's see how the Cowboys turn out if you either bench us or fire us for actually caring to do something about injustices just like this. We dare you.
All right, moving on to a completely different topic. After dozens of women made allegations against Harvey Weinstein and his alleged sexual harassment, sexual assault, and in some cases rape, a number of Hollywood celebrities came out and condemned him aggressively. One of those celebrities, though, was not Lindsay Lohan. In fact, she felt the need to come out and defend him in a very strange video that she posted on social media. Now, without further delay, let's take a look at what she has to say.
Hi, this is Lindsay Lohan. Hi, I'm in Dubai. I'm home. And I feel very bad for Harvey Weinstein right now. I don't think it's right what's going on. I think Georgina needs to take a stand and be there for her husband. And he's never harmed me or done anything wrong to me. We've done several movies together. And so I think everyone needs to stop. I think it's wrong. So stand up.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, okay. I mean, she was never victimized, so
yeah.
All of these accusations must be untrue.
So you guys are gonna get, some of you are gonna get mad at me, but she sounds like a right winger. It didn't happen to me, so what do I care? It's if it didn't happen to me, it's not real. I don't get arrested for being black, so I assume nobody gets arrested for being black. Okay, I don't get pulled over for being black because I'm not black. So it must not happen to black people either. So Lindsay Lohan's like, he didn't sexually assault me as other women have said he did, many, many different women. So it must not have happened. She put a little halo above the emoji of Harvey Weinstein.
Yep.
I'm not sure there's a guy in the country that deserves that halo less. Yeah. Right, Roger Ailes is dead. So, I mean, you've got other serial sexual assaulters like the president. So,
and O'Reilly.
Right. Mm-hmm. But so she's a weirdo, and I don't know whether I want to get angry at her or feel sorry for her. So she has a ton of money, and she goes around all these different capitals with really rich friends. So, what do you like? Not much to feel sorry for, right? But she lives in this twisted world where everybody's a yes man and they're like, oh, Lindsay, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. And everyone you know who's friends with you is the greatest. Isn't Harvey the greatest? Oh, yeah, everybody's the greatest. Ugh. I mean,
She lives in Dubai, though. Like, you know, okay, so in that video, she mentioned Georgina Chapman, who is now leaving Harvey Weinstein. They've been married, right? And they have two kids together. And she's like, you need to support your husband. What? And I mean, that just, it sounds like what religious extremists would say, right? You support your husband with any and all costs. Like, no matter what, you support your husband, you gotta stand by your husband. No, if your husband has been accused by dozens of women, by the way, A-list actresses like Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow, like, what do they have to gain out of lying about, you know, sexual harassment from Harvey Weinstein? They have nothing to gain from that at all. So it's just, it's absurd. And saying to a woman, you need to support your husband after all these accusations have come out against him, how about you mind your own business, okay? Georgina Chapman gets to make the decision that she wants to make. And, you know, you are completely irrelevant to that discussion.
Yeah, to say that that his wife is the problem, it's insanity. Oh, but that goes to the problem with fame. And that's why I both am sickened by her and feel sad for her, is that this is what fame does to you. After a while, if you're as famous as Lindsay Lohan, like you can't relate to any other human beings. You stop feeling empathy. unless they somehow help you. Harvey's put her in roles, that is a good thing. He's in the business of helping Lindsay Lohan, so that's a good, like, she reminds me of Trump a little bit, so self-centered.
Yeah.
The only thing that matters is me. There's dozens of women who say that he, you know, assaulted them, harassed them, masturbated next to them when they didn't ask for it, and, you know, and groped them and all this stuff. Yeah, but they're not named Lindsay Lohan, so why would I care? So that's a person who helped me get rich and famous, so I'm gonna stand up for him. The fame is it's a dangerous thing, man. And so at least at that level, and I think she's literally sick in that regard.
Yeah,
and I feel bad for her. I mean, she's
feel bad for her.
No, but she's like, she's almost clinical, like Trump. They're so self-obsessed. How do you relate to any other human being when all you can think about is yourself?
Yeah, it's really disastrous, but.
The only empathy she's shown is to Harvey Weinstein.
I know, and it's
insane.
Wow, okay. Anyway, let's move on. Conservatives have aggressively gone after liberals following allegations that Harvey Weinstein had sexually harassed or sexually assaulted dozens of women. Now, Margaret Hoover, who is a conservative, felt the need to call other conservatives out on their hypocrisy. And I just want to give her some credit because I think this was bold. I think that this was very much true. And I think it takes guts to speak out against conservatives and how incredibly contradictory they are on this issue. Take a look.
It's shocking to me how differently the left and the right have handled major sex scandals. When Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes were revealed to be predatory, I can point to two people in the conservative universe who said, this is bad behavior and it is not conservative. One was Peggy Noonan, one was David French at National Review. Nothing else from anyone else. On the left, you have movie star after politician, after US senator, disassociating himself, disavowing, condemning bad behavior. And a really stark contrast culturally between how the political left and the political right handle this situation.
Wow, that was admirable. I'm glad that she said that because you don't hear that criticism much on cable news. Cuomo said a few things about that as well, but I'm happy that there's another conservative pointing this out because this shouldn't be a political issue. Regardless of someone's political affiliation or political identity, it has to do with people in positions of power who use that position of power to prey on those who have no power. And I don't care if it's a liberal, I don't care if it's a progressive, I don't care if it's a conservative. If someone is preying on others the way that Weinstein has, the way that Roger Ailes did, the way that Bill O'Reilly did, then they should be condemned. And I don't care about their political affiliation whatsoever.
So Margaret Hoover used to be at Fox News. And there they, for a long, long time, circled the wagons. And eventually the executives, partly because they wanted a multi-billion dollar deal done in the UK, changed direction. But a lot of the people on air for a long time, nope, stuck with Ailes, stuck with O'Reilly, no matter what. And now they're gleeful. They're like, yes, we found one liberal who's as much of a prick as Trump, Ailes, O'Reilly, you know, Bowling, whatever, you name it, right? So they're like, oh yeah, what? Condemn. We want you to condemn. No, Hillary condemned, but she didn't do it quickly enough. No, she should have done it nanoseconds afterwards. She shouldn't even finish reading the story. She should have condemned right away. Obama, he didn't condemn quickly enough. Okay, now what is, that's a thing that didn't condemn quickly enough. You know, Chris Hayes pointed out on Twitter today that one of Obama's daughters interned at the Weinstein Company. So obviously, they didn't know, otherwise they wouldn't have sent their daughter to intern there. So they never knew, and then once they found out, they condemned him. You guys, most of the right wing, as Margaret Hoover just pointed out, never condemned Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly. Sean Hannity just had Bill O'Reilly on his show, then turns around and goes, why won't they condemn Weinstein?
Yeah, that's right.
Why won't they condemn him quickly enough, forcefully enough? Why haven't they punched him in the nuts yet? Okay, so no, we know what it is. And what drives it is projection. And they assume that we will protect Weinstein, we as in progressives,
right?
Because they protect, right or wrong, their guys. Sean Hannity thinks, yeah, Roger Ailes harassed and assaulted many women, to take out his penis and run around the room chasing after women, according to the stories. Mm-hmm. And that's why he was sued. He settled cases. They made payments. He was fired. It's proven over and over again. But I don't care. He's my flasher. He's my guy.
And he's on my team.
Yeah, he's on my team. And so that's, so I love Roger Ailes, right? So he assumes we will do likewise. But the reality is we don't care. We condemn that kind of behavior no matter where they are on the political spectrum. In fact, Harvey Weinstein's excuse the day after was even more gross.
Yeah.
So he did this apology, and I hadn't read the New York Times story yet. I'm like, oh, the first half of that apology sounds fine. The second half is really weird. Then I went back and read the story, and I'm like, oh. So the second half of the apology was like, I will be fighting against the NRA even more.
Yeah, deflecting, essentially.
I was like, wait, what does the NRA have anything to do with this?
It has nothing to do with it. It was him trying to pander to, you know,
liberals, because he thought, oh, well, remember, guys, I'm on your side. No,
don't
you're not.
Don't care at all.
And he's like, and I will be naming, I'll be giving more money in favor of women, and I'll be naming it after my mom, and I don't want to let her down. Dude, you should have thought about that before the potted plant. Okay, mm-hmm. And so it's a little late. And don't hide behind your mom. Don't do that. So we're not like the right wing. We're not going to defend you because you think you're on our team. So if those the guys that did know him want to take a couple of days and figure out did he actually do it, mm-hmm. and then once they're sure condemn him, that's perfectly fine. For all those Republicans still defending Bill O'Reilly and yes, Donald Trump, who bragged about, just like Weinstein, I'm famous, so I can grab and grope them all they like, and all I like, and there's nothing they could do about it. He's the guy you voted for, and all those conservatives on air still defend to this day. So please spare us your crocodile tears about Weinstein. You guys are the ones who don't care at all.
We gotta take a break. Let's do that. And when we come back, more news. You don't wanna miss it.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. Ray for Madness writes in, and the American culture of white supremacy coolly rolls on. It's not white supremacists that should scare you, it's the system. Daniel Pareja writes in, remember that according to right wingers, stand your ground is only for white people. And Matt Odom says, it's about power. Weinstein was power. He held a checkbook for people like Lohan. They don't bite the hand that feeds.
Right.
Yep. All right, what's next, Anna?
All right. A high school student who was suspended for refusing to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance is now suing the school district and the principal who decided to suspend her. Her name is India Landry, and she is a student at Winfern High School. And apparently, she was sent to the principal's office after she was caught texting in class. And then while she was at the principal's office, the Pledge of Allegiance was done through the intercom, and she remained seated. At that point, the principal apparently saw her and wasn't too pleased with it. Let me tell you what the exchange allegedly was. When the principal, Martha Strother, asked Landry to stand, the 17-year-old declined. According to the complaint, Strother told Landry, well, you're kicked out of here. And then her secretary allegedly told the student, this is not the NFL. Now, this is a public school that receives taxpayer funding, which means that administrators or educators who violate free speech are basically violating the Constitution. Now, in some cases on a school campus, there are more limitations to speech, especially when it comes to something that could be distracting to an educational environment, or if it's speech that could potentially harm anyone on campus. But in this case, it was protected speech. She is not to be forced to stand during the Pledge of Allegiance or the National Anthem or anything like that. She was suspended for several days, and now she is filing a federal civil rights lawsuit against the school district, and I think she has a pretty good case there.
So I want you to understand that the texting had nothing to do with this story. The only reason it's brought up is because that's what got her sent to the principal's office, and that's fine. You're not allowed to text in class. So that's not the issue. That's not why she was kicked out. She was kicked out because she wouldn't stand for the pledge, and that has been her consistent principle, as they pointed out, over 200 times. And that's what's great about this country is two things. One is You have the freedom of speech and can express your political opinions in any way you like within these confines. And she's perfectly within her rights to do that. And so that's what the Pledge of Allegiance is about. That's what the country is about, is celebrating that idea. So the people who are doing this, they're so wrongheaded, and they're actually insulting the idea of America way more than the people who are practicing the freedom of speech and protesting their government and their government's actions. Protesting your government's actions is the most American thing you could do. And then the second part of it is, think about, like, she's saying, hey, I want to, in essence, fix the system, fix the injustice, and create a more perfect union, which is exactly what the Constitution wants you to do. The Constitution doesn't say sit on your ass and don't do anything, don't ask for redress of grievances, don't protest, don't be the press, don't try to fix the government. It says fix this government. In the Constitution, it gives you two different ways to do amendments and to protest the government that the Constitution has formed. Mm-hmm. It is a document built by rebels. They literally rebelled against the king, they did a revolution, they won their freedom, and it's built on freedom. So the people who are saying no, you should not exercise that freedom, misunderstood the whole point of the country. They're the ones who have no respect for that flag and what it stands for.
So the type of mentality that the principal had in this story is not, you know, it's not unique to conservatives. I want to be clear about something. This type of weird jingoistic bias runs deep in the country. And I didn't really realize how deep it runs until fairly recently, to be honest with you, when an audience member was pretty upset during a recent show when I made the argument that the United States is not the best country. Now, I don't say that because I have disdain for the US. I love this country. I have extremely high standards for this country. And I think that it is incredibly wrongheaded to pretend as though everything is perfect and that we should be complacent and that we shouldn't expect better from our country, right? Mm-hmm. So for instance, you know, obviously we have a long way to go when it comes to our healthcare system. We have a long way to go when it comes to a number of things. There have been a number of international studies that, you know, rank countries based on quality of life, the economic situation, healthcare, education. You think we're number one on those lists? We're not number one on those lists. Okay, and so yeah, we need to improve. And if you want to think about it on a micro scale, think about an employee that you work with, a colleague that you work with, someone who might get constructive criticism from management. I mean, if that person said, no, I'm perfect, I'm not going to take any criticism, I'm not going to consider any of these improvements. I mean, well, how would you think of that person? They're not going to improve because they are completely oblivious or they refuse to accept the fact that there are improvements that need to be made. And that's not cool.
Think about your husband.
Right.
What kind of a person doesn't ever change? A person that can't adjust or adapt, et cetera. Look, one last thing about this. I remember, and you got to remember, I was a knucklehead. I used to be conservative, and it drove me crazy when people wouldn't stand for the pledge, and I thought it was wrong, and they should have been kicked out. So I was wrong, and I was willing to change. And I used to be upset at Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, who used to be Chris Jackson, and he wouldn't stand for the pledge because he was Muslim, and he cared about his religion. Okay. Now, of course, in America, we say we care a lot about religion unless you're Muslim. Mm-hmm. And they're like, your religion. No, stand for the pledge. Now, the reason I tell you that whole long story is because it's not just Americans. So he had issues with the NBA. He went to go play in Turkey. And then he didn't stand for the Turkish national anthem either because he felt it was against his religion. And Turkey's 99% Muslim. Mm-hmm. They're like, what is with this guy who won't stand for the national anthem? And they were even more pissed at him than the Americans were. Mm-hmm. So he thought he was gonna get a better reception because the country is Muslim, and he did not. So I tell you that because I get it, man. It's in our bones. Like, we wanna stand up for our flag, we wanna stand up for our country, and that's something because we're standing up for our tribe. What I'm asking you to do, what America is asking you to do, what the Constitution is asking you to do, is to get beyond that and realize that standing up for your country is to help it get better.
Yes.
Okay, not to just stay stagnant if it's doing something wrong.
I mean, think about how simplistic this argument is, right? In the eyes of some people in the US, patriotism is, you know, honoring a symbol. But in my eyes, patriotism is looking out for your fellow Americans, fighting to make sure that we don't send our soldiers abroad and engage in these wars that risk their lives just so corporations can make money. To me, that's patriotism. Patriotism is creating opportunities, or in the very least, maintaining the opportunities that we've taken advantage of so younger generations can also take advantage of those opportunities. That's patriotism to me. Those are the things that I get fired up about, and I think most Americans would get fired up about if we actually had a genuine, sincere conversation about this. But instead, people are sitting around having conversations about the flag, or a song or an anthem. Those are not the issues here, okay? The real issues are how average Americans get screwed time and time again by a broken, corrupt political system.
No, and real patriotism is making sure that FedEx and UPS get tax cuts so that they can automate your job away. Anyway, go to tytnetwork.com/investigates to see the latest in the investigative stories about the tax cuts and the job losses that they will create. Go to tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. Hear the post game we're about to do, and you get the whole show 2 hours commercial free anytime you want. You can download it, you can stream it, and get all the network shows. Get all the interviews live, like I did with Naomi Klein the other day, and Old School and Aggressive Progressive. All of that is coming up later in the week for members. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you in the post game if you're a member.
Bye bye.